Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Nobody said it. Not the LAPD. Not a single source close to the investigation. Since Rob and Michelle Reiner were found dead in their Brentwood home in December, law enforcement has never publicly disclosed a motive for the killings. Then on June 9th, Nick Reiner's own civil attorneys filed a 136-page probate petition that I would say, in my opinion, kind of does it for him. I don't think they meant to. I think they were just trying to get their client his money. But what they put on paper is a date, a dollar amount, two people who reportedly controlled it, and two people who are dead. In any other case, that's page one of a motive brief. So let's stop dancing around it. Let's take what's been publicly reported, lay the pieces next to each other, and ask a question everybody's been thinking about, but nobody with a microphone has been willing to really say. Did $1.5 million give Nick Reiner a reason to kill his parents? Not saying it's right, but I'm saying, was that the carrot on the stick? But how is he going to get it if they're dead? Well, exactly. That's how he's going to get it. If they're dead, if they were the ones saying, we don't think you are capable of handling this right now. If that barrier is gone, the money's free. But Tony, he would be, how is he going to get it if he's accused of killing them? If he gets caught killing them, he's an addict. That's two thoughts. Oftentimes, there ain't a lot of multi-dimensional 4D chess playing going on with addicts. It's pretty much barrier. How can we destroy that to get to what we want? There's not the thought process of, well, if I murder them, I might be wanted for murder. I might get caught in this scheme and I might never get the money. No, it's just if they're dead, I get the money. That whole, oh, I might destroy my existence. That part is missed in that equation in the addict's brain. So if you're stuck on that one going, nah, that's it's not good reasoning. It's not good thinking. That's why it's addict thinking, but it's addict thinking with a carrot on a stick, and it's directly in front of us. Now, nobody has to prove murder in a court. That's not part of the equation here, but juries certainly like it. Juries certainly like to latch onto something and beyond just he's a shitty human being. We know that going in. But what makes him shittier is really the question. And this may be the answer. In my opinion, your thoughts in the comments section. There's no right or wrong here. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to examine this. There's one legal path, just one, where Nick allegedly kills them and still keeps the money. His defense team is reportedly already on it. So let's start where any investigator would start. Not with the suspect, not with the crime scene, with the money. According to the petition, Rob and Michelle established an individual trust for Nick in 1993 with what his lawyers called unambiguous terms. Half at 30, the rest at 35, mandatory and unconditional. His 30th birthday was September 14th, 2023. He reportedly never got paid. That's not a dispute about inheritance. According to his own filing, that money had reportedly already vested. It was his legally on a date when both of his parents were alive and in control of the trust. His lawyer's own words, at the mandatory distribution date, those funds reportedly ceased to be trust property. And the petition offers no explanation of why Rob and Michelle didn't distribute it when they were alive. You can take 1,000 guesses as to why they thought they were being responsible parents with a son that had been battling addiction his whole life. And at the moment he turned 30, was still living with them, had come off a conservatorship not that long prior. We've talked about that in great detail on this channel. And they were trying to not put something in front of him that would make him destroy his life even more than he already has. Now, granted, he got his allowance from them. They controlled that, but $10,000 a month is very different than $1.5 million suddenly accessible in a bank account. $10,000 is a lot to just destroy your life with. Trust me, it's far more than an addict should have access to. Certainly, you know, perspective on realistic terms of money and monetization and paying and taking care of your addict son, you know, this is how it worked in their household. Good, bad, you can argue it 50 ways to Tuesday. Was it smart? You know, it is what it is. It's how they were trying to handle it and get by and keep everyone breathing. The petition offers no explanation of why Rob and Michelle didn't distribute it when they were alive. 27 months, they were alive. They controlled the trust in terms. The terms were reportedly very clear and nothing happened. So while they were likely taking a humanitarian stance, if you will, a loving stance, I'm doing this for your own good because I love you, I care about you, and I know what you're capable of stance, that doesn't necessarily always equate to a legal stance. He could have just sued them. Yes, he's a lazy addict. Guess where he'd have to get the money for the attorney to sue the people from? Mom and dad. He makes $10,000 a month on an allowance. Yeah, you don't think that that's not going somewhere else other than attorney fees? He didn't have the willpower. He didn't have the mental capacity. He didn't have the resources to sue the hand that feeds him. That's not a disadvantage to him. That's just reality of where things stood. Get your act cleaned up, get your life together, do something decent. Money's probably yours. Keep being a fuck up. Mom and dad are going to hold on that money until God himself says you have to hand it over. And that might be where we're at this point. The reporting tells you why they reportedly hesitated. Nick was 2 years out of an involuntary conservatorship for grave disability, still living in their guest house with no income and no independence. Any parent of that position holds back, mandatory terms or not. But reasonable to whom? To the man in the guest house who reportedly knew what the trust said and watched 27 months go by without a check, every minute ticking away? Every second, dollars that were not in his hand to find his next fix. I'm guessing Nick saw it a little differently. If you strip it down to the frame, a documented financial entitlement, a documented failure to pay, and the only two people who reportedly stood between Nick and that money are the same two people who ended up dead. In any investigation, that's not a coincidence you file away. That's a motive you build a case around. But he wanted money isn't a motive that explains this. If it were that simple, it wouldn't have taken 27 months to reach a breaking point. Half the people in prison for financial crimes had the patience to plan. whatever allegedly happened to that Brentwood home wasn't patient, which means the money alone doesn't get you there. The money had to land on something that was already burning. And by all reported accounts, it was. A former rehab roommate reportedly described rage towards Rob and Michelle that went back to when Nick was 15. Resentment towards their fame, their control, everything they imposed on his life. That anger was reportedly documented long before anyone was talking about a trust fund. It didn't need money to exist, but money gave it a target. Money gave it a document. Money gave it proof, in his mind, allegedly, that the people who controlled his life are now controlling his finances. It's a photograph from September 14th of 2024. It's Nick's 31st birthday. The entire Reiner family together at dinner in Las Vegas. Everybody smiling. A full year after the distribution was reportedly due and never paid. Whatever was building behind the smile didn't stop. 15 months later, Rob and Michelle were dead. That's what his slow burn motive looks like. Not a snap. Not a single bad night. Compounding resentment with a dollar sign attached to it. And the question you guys should be asking is, why 27 months? Why did it reportedly take that long to go from unpaid trust to alleged double homicide? That question has an answer too. And the answer is what separates this from a simple greed motive. If you're sitting on a legitimate grievance and the trust terms reportedly make this a legitimate grievance, not a delusion, and your brain is working the way it's supposed to, you call a lawyer, you file a petition, you fight in court. That's what healthy people do with real injustice. They use systems. Nick's civil lawyers eventually did exactly that in June of 26. The question is reportedly, what happened during the 27 months before that filing existed? Well, paranoid ideation doesn't invent grievances out of nothing. What it does, when a real grievance exists, is strip away every rational response and replace them with certainty. Not suspicion, certainty. The kind that feels real. More real than anything else or anyone else tells you. Certainty that the people withholding your money aren't being cautious. They're your enemies. That this isn't a disagreement, this is a conspiracy. And everyone who claims to love you has been working against you your whole life. If the reported diagnosis is accurate and the paranoia was active, the money wasn't just unfair, it was evidence. It was confirmation of everything he'd reportedly believed since he was a teenager. They were stealing and holding his money back. And what do you do to people who are conspiring against you, holding life, your very future, against you, prohibiting you from taking that step that you so deserve to take? You have to destroy them, right? That's what 27 months means. That's what was going on in those 27 months. All of that thinking, stewing, brewing every single damn day. A healthy brain processes a financial dispute and hires a lawyer. A brain reportedly affected by schizophrenia, compounded by reported substance abuse, processes the same dispute and goes to war. The delay isn't evidence against the motive. The delay is evidence of how long the fuse was. In 3 to 4 weeks before the killings, somebody reportedly lit it. The medication switch. Sources described it in one word. Bursts. Erratic. Dangerous. Out of his head. A complete break from reality. Medical staff reportedly warned Rob and Michelle not to let Nick stay at the home. They let him stay. The switch didn't reportedly start the war. It removed the last ceasefire. Whatever the original medication had been holding in place, the stabilization, the managed paranoia, the barely functional equilibrium was gone. And the grievance, the resentment, the substances were still right where they'd been. But then December 13th, 2025 comes around and the Christmas party at Conan O'Brien's house. Multiple sources reported that Nick and Rob got into a very loud argument, heated enough that Rob and Michelle left. A source reportedly said Nick had been supposedly off drugs, but was not so much off them. The substance of the argument has never been publicly reported. Nobody has said what it was about, but it was the last known interaction between Nick and his parents before they were found dead. And every factor I've just laid out was reportedly in the room that night. I'm not filling in that blank. I'm telling you the blank exists, and the shape of everything around it points in one direction. But let's examine. Why didn't he take the legal route? He had the same right to file a petition in 2024 that his lawyers exercised in 2026. If the trust terms were that clear, a court could have forced the distribution. He didn't need to kill anybody to get $1.5 million. He needed a probate attorney, right? Well, that's exactly the point. A rational actor files a petition. A rational person doesn't end up charged with double murder over money he could have won in court. The motive theory doesn't work if you assume Nick was thinking clearly. It works precisely because, by all reported accounts, he wasn't. The convergence is the theory. The real financial grievance processed through a brain reportedly in psychiatric freefall, amplified by reported substance abuse and stripped of its last chemical restraint by a medication change that sources say left him unable to distinguish his enemies from his parents. Or maybe, in his mind, they were the same people the whole time. It's not a motive. That's something worse. That's a grievance motive that allegedly ran through a broken mind until the original injury was unrecognizable, until the $1.5 million wasn't about money anymore. It was about everything they'd ever done to him, everything they'd ever controlled, everything he'd reportedly been saying since he was 15 years old. A rational motive leaves a rational trail. This one, if it does happen to be real, allegedly left two people dead. And a suspect picked up 20 miles away near a metro station. That's not a plan, that's an explosion. Which brings us back to the part I said was coming. The one legal path where Nick allegedly kills his parents and still keeps the money. California slayer statute. Kill someone feloniously and intentionally, lose your inheritance. A murder conviction reportedly wipes Nick out entirely, but an NGRI verdict, not guilty by reason of insanity, potentially negates the intentional elements the statute requires. California appellate courts have reportedly indicated that a person found NGRI may not be deemed to have acted intentionally for probate purposes. The law is reportedly unsettled, but it is the only path where someone who allegedly killed the people who created the trust still has a claim to what's inside of it, at least part two of it, the 35-year-old payout that is yet to come. Slayer statute would apply there. It would apply to the bigger chunk of inheritance, but it's still, the legal system is looking at it, may not really apply to that $1.5 million that he was supposed to get at 30. If you follow this logic, if money was the grievance that allegedly drove everything, then the insanity defense isn't just a strategy to avoid prison. It's also potentially the only defense that preserves the financial entitlement at the center of the entire case. The defense doesn't just fight the charge, it protects the prize as well. The same mental illness that may have turned a financial dispute into an alleged double homicide is also the same mental illness that might shield the money from the Slayer statute. The disease and the defense are the same thing. And the circle keeps closing. Alan Jackson, the attorney who withdrew in January when the funding reportedly dried up, has now said he's willing and ready to come back if the money becomes available. His parting words, pursuant to the law in California, Nick Reiner is not guilty of murder. It's not an innocence claim. That's an insanity defense. Straight up. And as of June 12th, the newly appointed trustee has reportedly agreed to ask the court to release the funds. The money Nick reportedly wasn't getting, the money that may sit at the center of why two people are dead, is reportedly about to be handed to the man accused of killing the people who are withholding it. So he can hire the lawyer who will reportedly build the defense that might actually let him get more. It's there's so many layers. This, you're like, oh, he'll get the $1.5 million maybe, but there's no more he's going to possibly get after that, right? Huh? Go for the insanity defense. Might be living high in a mental hospital the rest of your life, but you'll be living high in a mental hospital. I want to be clear about what this is. No law enforcement agency has confirmed money as a motive. No prosecutor has argued it. This is completely based on what's out there, in my opinion. But the reported facts don't really need much help. Documented entitlement, withheld, two gatekeepers dead, a lifetime of reported resentment that a money gave a target to, a reported psychiatric condition that may have turned a grievance into a war, a medication change that reportedly removed the last restraint in an argument the night before that nobody can explain, a defense strategy that protects the very entitlement that may have started all this, and that trust fund that is reportedly about to be released. Every road in this case leads to $1.5 million, the alleged motive, the attorney's reported withdrawal, the attorney's reported return, the petition, the trustee's reported decision, the defense. Nobody has said it was about money. But the two people who stood between Nick Reiner and the check are gone, and the check, reportedly, is about to be written. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue our conversation there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.